Hallelujah, Christ is risen. You know, our God really is amazing, and I want you to see just his kind of amazing in our gospel reading. So please stand in honor of our Savior Jesus for our gospel reading. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I just love the post-resurrection readings of the Bible. I mean, they're just so amazing. So look at our amazing God in this. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in my hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. I mean, we live, well, every day's Easter, since that first Easter. I mean, we live in the light of the empty cross and the empty grave of Jesus. And I mean, it's just amazing. Every day's Easter. Now, of course, every day can have a lot of Lent in it too. Amen. But Easter is out of the box. We call that the Paschal candle, the Easter candle. We call it the Christ candle. And Easter is out of the box, which means our risen and reigning Savior Jesus is about his work. And that's good news. The challenge in our reading is that that first Easter was anything but a party. There were no high fives being shared by the disciples that first Easter. In fact, we are told that first Easter, they're hiding. They're afraid. They've got the doors locked. They're wondering who's going to be crucified next. Hardly a party I would want to attend. How about you? Isn't that the way our life can be, though? I mean, we can get afraid. We can start to fret and worry. We can hide. How many different kinds of people are we afraid of? How many ways can we become held hostage? I mean, to think that they willingly lock the door with fear inside with them. We can do the same thing. in all kinds of different ways. But then Jesus showed up. The doors were locked. He went through them. Our resurrected Savior Jesus showed up. That's the good news. And he said, peace to you. He wanted to give them peace. He showed them his hands inside. Peace to you. I mean, that's our amazing God. This is our resurrected Savior about his ministry, coming to the rescue of his disciples and freeing them from the bondage in their hearts and minds. It is so cool to think about what our Savior does post-resurrection. Does he do anything different now? We, like the disciples long ago, aren't we facing all kinds of peril as well? Isn't it nice to know that Jesus cares about us as well? It's interesting, John says he breathed on them. What kind of breath did he have anyway? Kind of like beef and cheese, or was it like popcorn, or what kind of breath did he have? Was it that like lifesaver peppermint, wintergreen? Who knows? All we know is he breathed on them. You know, I'm not going to breathe on you because I've had a lot of coffee. And I'm working on it, but it's a challenge for a guy that has an implant too on his big story there. But anyway, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. He was reviving them. He was, in a sense, giving them resurrection. I mean, they were really, in a lot of ways, as good as dead, the way they were behaving. They weren't believing the women. They weren't taking any of that. All they were believing were the lies of fear. And he breathed on them. And it's like he just brought them back to life. Now, they're being filled with peace. It is just awesome to think about what our risen and reigning Savior is doing. What does this mean for us? It means the next time you're afraid, the next time you're being battered and smashed by regret or shame or guilt or blame, who's on his way? Who's on his way? You know, if you want to just say, what's the law and the gospel of our scripture today? It's this. The law is this. We do the same thing the disciples did a long time ago. We can become so afraid. We can become afraid of the people in our home, where we work or go to school. We can be afraid of each other. And when we're afraid, we do all the things that we think we can do to somehow mitigate the problem. And it doesn't work so well. Like the disciples long ago, we lock ourselves in with the things that are still bombarding us and hurting us. And isn't it amazing how it's not just one thing that comes? It can be a whole series of unfortunate events cascading into our lives. Boom, boom, boom. The Lord knows. And he cares about us. And that's what's so awesome about Easter. The gospel is that Jesus is on his way. He comes to us today in word and sacrament to give us the assurance that we're forgiven and numbered among his own. He empowers us beyond what's holding us, so that our fears drop and we become the honest kind of gifts that God intends for us to be to the people around us. Will we struggle with fear? Will we struggle with some things that want to make us run and hide? Absolutely. But here's the good news. Jesus draws us back out. I mean, really, the whole theme of Easter now for the next few weeks is going to be how Jesus takes a group of fearful, misfit disciples and turns them into a congregation of full of faith saints that just want to share mercy and tell the truth. And it's amazing what those disciples did so long ago. But it's not about them anymore. It's about us. Not only does Jesus come to us to assure us and to free us and to help us, but he also comes to us through each other. His goal is to also work through you, in all kinds of ways. Our traditional language is mission and ministry. You have a mission field that's different than mine. And you have the passport in it to be a witness to the risen Christ that I don't have. I have a mission field that I have passport in, or at least I'm trying to gain some. House was built in a vacant lot, two doors down. We've seen the movement. Finally, they finished it, and people moved in a while back, and then they had a little garage sale. They do the same things we do. We move stuff we don't need, and then they try to sell it, and it was so cool. Now I have my opportunity. So I got home 9:30 yesterday morning, and I seized the moment, so I went over there and introduced myself to them and shook their hands and found out they have some kids. And that's called mission work. And so I'm trying to gain some passport there. Maybe you've lived in your area longer. Man, I still miss where I came from. I was like the pastor of the neighborhood. But it takes a while to get that passport. But that's your mission field. Your mission field is where you work or go to school. Your mission field is, well, our neighborhood when we figure out what to do corporately, but that's a different kind of mission field. Maybe the only thing you can do in parts of your mission field is to pray for your neighbors and pray for the people you work with or go to school with. But you also have a ministry field that's unique to you. It's your home where you can minister and care for your fellow believers, where you can also teach them a lot of things. In our passage of Scripture today, our New Testament gospel reading, that's actually the text that Luther quotes in the Office of the Keys, where we bind and loose sins. So in your home, you have a ministry of sharing the keys of Christ, the law and the gospel. You know, it's where you, it's like parenting. You know, a lot of times parenting is you're spending time teaching kids how to treat each other nicer, right? And, you know, it's not nice to bonk your brother with a toy. And you got to do a lot of teaching why that's wrong. And then you got to talk about, you know, the feelings you have about being hurt are the same kind of feelings he has or she has, because that's the way they feel too when they're hurt. So you spend a lot of time teaching. And the Office of the Keys is a teaching office. Parenting is a teaching office. Even marriage is a teaching office. Sometimes husbands and wives bonk each other with the toys of marriage. And you've got to spend time just ministering to each other. And it's hard work. It's not this easy, yeah, I've sinned, forgiven, and go on. It's a long, drawn-out process, but that's called ministry. And you have a ministry in your home where you're learning what it means to forgive, call people on things, hold them accountable so that you can share the gospel with them. I need forgiveness from my wife. She needs forgiveness from me. I need forgiveness from my kids. They need forgiveness from me. What do we call that? Ministry. And we're here to be revived by the one who's ministering to us always and caring for us. But he also chooses to work through us. And ministry is hard work, unless you're taking your kids fishing. Then it's a lot of fun, but there still might be some Office of the Keys there. Because how many different places do we go in our lives as family, and we still need to do the Office of the Keys so that we maintain a family of forgiveness, so that we keep standing on the gospel of love and sharing it with each other? How many times in friendships? How many ways? But that's what it's called. And so we are now the witnesses to the risen life of our Savior Jesus. We're a part of our amazing God's work. And our amazing God is working through us. And it might seem like it's the same old, but keep in mind that your life is one of mission and ministry. We also, as a congregation, have a corporate mission and ministry. We focus on specific ways we can care for each other. We focus on some specific ways that we can reach into our community. But by and large, most of your time is in your own mission and ministry field, bearing witness to your faith in Christ and the truth of our Savior's resurrected life, who's at work coming to our rescue. What a gift it is to have our amazing God. We're God's Easter people. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus, amen.